It is good for us to be here. Amen. Good morning, good people of Grace Episcopal Church. Indeed, it is good for us to be here. Here together on this Transfiguration Sunday, here with Peter and James and John and Jesus and Moses and Elijah, as we witness at the end of our Epiphany season, the great Epiphany for these disciples and perhaps for Jesus himself, as he takes on the divine light and beingness of God. As these disciples have heard at the end of the chapter before this one in Mark, where Jesus begins to point towards the reality of his suffering, the reality of his execution, and the reality of his resurrection, these disciples have entered into a time, it says in our gospel, 6 days after. They have entered into a time of fasting and preparation. And at the end of those 6 days, it says in our gospel, Jesus leads them up to a high mountain. It is indeed good for us to be here. I want you to imagine with me how it must have felt to these disciples, to Peter and James and John, to be chosen to go with Jesus to this faraway place to pray, as they have just heard this news that he will not be with them much longer. This part of Mark's gospel falls right in the middle, of the gospel story of Jesus's beginning and of Jesus's resurrection. We find ourselves in the middle of the story, high on a mountaintop. James and John and Peter have been led up to pray. They've been led up to consider with Jesus what it is Jesus is about, who it is that Jesus is, and who it is Jesus is calling these disciples to be. And so they find themselves high on a mountaintop, and before them, Jesus begins to shine so bright that no person on earth could have bleached his clothing to be this shining white that they are seeing. They know this is not an earthly moment they are experiencing. In their epiphany, they see that this is a divine moment that they have been led high onto a mountaintop to experience with Jesus. And with them on this mountaintop, they see Jesus dazzling white, and then they see Moses and Elijah. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus gathered together on a mountaintop. And these men, these normal men who have been called into this ministry, unknown, unforeseeable, unpredictable, surprising, are in this moment where they see Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Mountaintop moments. Mountaintop moments are something I think we have all experienced. Moments when we see our history and our present moment intersect. And in that intersection of our past and our present, we are transformed for the work we have before us in the future. This is what Peter and James and John were experiencing on this mountaintop. They were experiencing their history and their present moment, the prophet and the law and the present moment of Jesus, all intersecting before their very eyes to prepare them for the future ahead of them, for their work, for the reality of Jesus's execution and Jesus's resurrection. They are being transformed. They are being prepared. I think we have all had these mountaintop moments, and often we don't even know that they were mountaintop moments until we have come down off the mountain and we see how we have been transformed. My father was my best friend. He was a soulmate. He was a confidant. He was a critique of my work and offered me feedback and friendship and compassion throughout his life. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease when I was only 24 years old. And for over 20 years, he battled Parkinson's, but he battled it with the resiliency that he had led with throughout his whole life. I was honored to walk that journey with him, and I was honored to be with him at the end. At the end of his very long battle with Parkinson's, as he was dying, I lied with him. I lied with him in his room where he had been for many, many, many months as he was not able to care for himself. I lied there with him as he was struggling to take his final breaths, and I held him as he took his last breath on this earth. In this moment, it occurred to me that my father had held me when I took my first breath on this earth, and I was holding him as he took his last. It was for me my greatest mountaintop moment, where my history and my present intersected in a way that I was transformed. As I held my father, I sang, taste and see that God is good. It is good for us to be here, I thought to myself. After he took his final breath, after we called the rest of the family back in, after we called the nurses and the doctors to take care of the business that happens after death, after that, I sat in prayer for a long time up on that mountaintop. Peter, in our story today, says, as he sees Jesus in all his glory, as he sees Moses and Elijah, he says, "It is good for us to be here. Let us build three dwellings, three tabernacles. Let us stay here. Let us make this a permanent place of worship." It is easy for us, I think, to judge Peter in this moment. It is easy for us to critique him and to see that he was mistaken, that he didn't fully understand this moment. And instead of being in the moment, he was thinking of what it is we should do, that we should build something, that we should make this transcendent moment permanent. It's easy to do that, and I have done that. But when I think about my mountaintop moment with my dad, when I think about the history and the present coming together for me in that moment, when I think about my reluctance to come down off of that mountaintop, I understand Peter's impulse. And I think that impulse has so much to teach us in this day when we find ourselves on our mountaintops, when we find ourselves in moments where our history and our present intersect. I think it has much to teach us, because I think in this world we move so quickly that often we come down off the mountaintop before we are fully transformed. And if we come down off the mountaintop before we are fully transformed, how is it we are to transform the world we find once we come down? For me, I have visited that mountaintop moment with my dad many times throughout my life, and every time I visit it, it has something new to teach me. What I know is that I was transformed in that moment. What I know is that my history and my present came together, intersected to prepare me for this work that I now do with you and in the world. And I know that my dad is shining in his dazzling whiteness with Jesus on me as I do this work. And for that, I am so grateful. In our gospel today, there is a commandment. God delivers one commandment in the New Testament, and the commandment is this: listen to him. And a voice came from above, and it said, "You are my beloved, with you I am well pleased. Listen to him." One commandment: listen to him. What I know from my mountaintop moments and what I have witnessed in yours and the many people I have worked with on mountaintops, what I know is that we have to stay long enough to listen, because in the listening, we are transformed. It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to listen. It is good because in that goodness, we are transformed. We are transformed so that we may go back down and serve. It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to listen. Let us take time as we enter into this Lenten season, as we prepare to do our own fasting, as we prepare to do our own discernment, as we prepare to see the ways that we ourselves and our community needs to be transformed, let us take time to listen. It is good for us to be here. Amen.